podcast where we discuss the people, places, and events all around Kestrel Country.
Welcome to the Kestrel Country Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad we could. So Meg is a senior here at New St. Andrews College, but she's an extraordinary bread baker. Gotta say that five times fast. So Meg, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from.
I'm from the Central Coast of California, San Luis Obispo area.
Which really, is gorgeous.
I'm going to say, really beautiful place to grow up. Followed my brother up here for school 5 years ago now.
Okay.
Work three-quarter time at Trinity Reformed Church as a secretary. Love that. We'll be continuing that after I graduate. And have turned a little side baking hobby into a business, and we're seeing where that goes.
So when did you start the business here in Moscow?
I started baking to sell, when was that, 2022.
Okay.
Had a delivery service going for a couple of months, mm-hmm. doing farmers markets, and then with health things had to stop. So it's only just in the last couple of months that I'm starting to kind of gear things back up, hoping that I can take it mm-hmm. after graduation and really develop it into something more consistent, more sustainable. But it's had really good traction. There's been a lot of interest. It's been a lot of fun. So we're excited to see where it goes.
So were you interested in bread baking back when you were younger, back in California, or is this something that just kind of started in college?
My dad always made sourdough.
Really? So,
yeah.
Okay. Before it was hip to be making it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day. He learned from some, like, Catholic priest on YouTube. Like, it's a kind of family lore.
Did he get some ancient starter?
I actually don't remember. I should ask him where he got his starter from. But, you know, he works as a pastor, so he'd be taking appointments, and we were homeschooled. He'd be like, you know, do the folds on the bread, or this is what, you know, needs to be done. So I've been around it. I've been familiar with it for a while at this point, and learned the basics from him. And for whatever reason, I wasn't really on social media in 2020, but mm-hmm. I somehow still got the bug to make bread like everybody else
like
did.
Like everybody else.
And got very obsessive about it. Like anyone who could or would take bread from me, I was like, please, this gives me practice. It gives me practice. And after a while, had people like, where can we like buy it though? Like, can we get it? How do we get your bread? So I started selling it kind of under the table, and now we're all official and legal, but you know.
Yes. Well, that's how it goes. You know, that's how a small business has to start like that. I also think it's easier not to know what you're getting into when you
definitely
get started.
Definitely.
Because then I don't know if you would with all the, you know. Yeah.
So many hoops to jump through.
So many hoops to jump through. Yes, for sure. So you had it when you were a little kid. You homeschooled in California.
Partial. Yeah. Okay. We did like a classical school that was 2 to 3 days a week, and then homeschool the other days.
Okay. And then so you came up to New St. Andrews. What year was that? Was it
2019?
Okay. So before COVID hit.
Yeah. COVID was the end of my freshman year.
Okay.
Which is wild to think it was that long ago.
Isn't it crazy?
Like, oh, that's my whole college experience in this upside down world we've been
I know. Well, and it's so easy because if you start thinking about stuff, you mark it by COVID, you know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, was that before COVID or is that after COVID? It's just funny because it's such a time marker.
Such a time marker, yeah.
But we got to visit San Luis Obispo in 2019, mm-hmm. January of 2019, I believe. Mm-hmm. So pre-COVID because my sister-in-law was down there.
Sure.
And it was gorgeous.
It's a lovely place. Yeah. All my family's back there and not planning to move back right now, but there's a bit of my heart. For
I believe
sure.
it.
For
I believe sure. it. 15 yeah. minutes to the coast and yet mm-hmm. all the wineries and mm-hmm. It's really fun.
Yeah. Hard to beat.
I was surprised, and I don't know why, I probably shouldn't have been, but how Western it felt, mm-hmm. you know, like the cowboy country feeling.
Yeah.
And I think California, and I think that's probably why you're thinking coastal or you're thinking surfer or you're thinking, you know, produce.
Yeah.
But it was fun to see all of that.
Yeah.
So
little ranching town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really fun. Okay. So tell us about your process with bread. So you started in 2020. Mm-hmm. Where'd you get your starter?
My best friend, Jane Rush. Okay. She baked, I think in Virginia, she was part of a bakery there. And she's just like, she's a queen. She doesn't even use a recipe. She just like goes by vibes and it turns out every time.
She knows the feel of
like
of the
bread. She's that good. So I got some starter from her and just started. I didn't and still don't actually have an oven in my apartment.
You don't. So where do you bake?
my landlady, God bless her, lives upstairs. She lets me pop up and use her oven once in a while. And then I bake at the church. Mm-hmm. So we have a kitchen there. So I'll be moving in May to an apartment with an oven.
With an oven.
Which I'm so excited about. That'll make my process a lot easier.
Oh, I'm sure.
But just started whacking things together to figure it out and get a feel for it, and started baking in my toaster oven. I love actually looking back at pictures, and it's like, okay, it was only like 3 years ago and it looked like that. Like, yeah, it's really actually come a long way since then. And then, yeah, just kind of following people online, yeah, watching different YouTube videos. And there is so much particularity. Like, people get really, really uptight about sourdough things. And I don't like that. Like, I am an intuitive person. I don't want to be like,
more artistic than scientific, like, maybe.
Don't tell me what to do. I want to do it myself. So figuring out what worked for my schedule at that point as a full-time student, I was out of the house from like 6 to 11 every day.
Right, okay, so how do you do the full?
How do I make it all work? How, yeah, do I make it work for my schedule? And that, I think, has been the beauty of sourdough for me, is that it's extremely flexible and it can work how I want it to work for my life. Someday I'll maybe teach a class on that.
See, I do think that's pretty important, because that was the thing for me. I didn't grow up with sourdough bread. And mm-hmm. then, of course, the sourdough bug's going. And so I tried at first using, now I'm not going to remember it. The super elaborate, intricate.
Like the tartine method?
Tartine. Yeah. It was, yes. And so it was like, oh, man. Okay. Yeah. So you're reading through the instructions.
25 minutes. And then I have to, yeah.
But
yeah,
that,
yeah,
doesn't work with the schedule of like, oh, but I'm running around to get kids. Or, mm-hmm, oh, I'm sorry, starter, you're just on your own now. And,
yep,
you know.
Yep.
And so it was kind of like. Rrr. And then later it was the idea of the Artisan Made Simple. Mm-hmm. Is that book?
Yeah.
Or Sourdough Made Simple.
I've seen it.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
You didn't use that one. Mm-hmm. Okay. That definitely helped. And then it was that mentality of, it just has to work with, mm-hmm, our schedule. So if the loaves are a little bit flat, or the rise time, or we didn't do, yeah, any folding,
yeah,
you know, it's like, okay, this is when we can bake it.
Yeah.
This is when we can
and
bake,
like,
it.
Any bread that you like to eat, that your family likes to eat, is successful bread. Like, there's, you know, so much finickiness you can get into. And that's fun. Like, the longer I've baked, the more I've enjoyed experimenting with, like, getting really particular on things and really perfecting my system.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've liked that, but I dislike the mindset that that's necessary to make good bread. Mm-hmm. And that it really is and can be accessible to anybody if they want to.
Well, it makes it much harder to get started. If you're, yeah, if you're kind of just entering, yeah,
the
here.
Threshold,
yes.
It's actually really low. Yeah. It's actually really low.
Well, that's, and very
so
encouraging.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
with your student schedule, tell us how you made that work.
Gosh, I don't even remember.
Teach a mini class here without teaching a class.
Let's see. So this is my sophomore year. Sophomore year was wild with my schedule.
Yeah, because you were going full-time student.
Full-time student plus a million and one other commitments. So it was really, the days were long and the nights were short.
But you still loved the sourdough.
But it was enough to really make it part of my lifestyle. I'd feed my starter before I went to bed. Mm-hmm. That was a varying time. Sometimes, yep, that's 11, sometimes that's 1. Whenever it was, I'd feed my starter, leave it on the counter, go to bed.
Okay, so when you feed it, were you weighing anything, or was this like eyeball? Okay.
Nope. Just till it's a good pasty consistency and call it good. I still don't, for whatever reason. I'll measure everything else by grams. I will not measure feeding my starter. Can't be bothered.
do you have any tips for the sheer level of sticky than crazy hard, you know, that the starter gets?
Yeah, I prefer it to be a little bit on the like wetter side, just because it's easier to work with.
Okay.
So it's roughly 1-to-1 by volume, flour and water. However, I've started making it a little thicker, mm-hmm, but not much. I don't really want to have to like work at it. Like,
yeah,
just feed it, make it easy. And I only keep a very small amount of starter in my fridge.
Okay.
Pull that out, you know, sometime midday whenever I think about it, feed it, and then I'll use it back down too. So I don't have a discard. I don't ever discard.
You never do a discard. Okay.
So I just feed it how much I need it, use it to make bread, put it back in the fridge.
Nice. Okay.
So that keeps it, again, really easy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people do a bunch of discard things. That seems stressful to me.
Well, because I'll pour some out, but then what happens on my jars, it gets all like
so crusty. Yeah.
And so then I'm like, okay, fresh jar. But then that old jar, I have this hesitancy to throw away.
Sure.
You and you're like, then it's sitting there soaking for days.
Yeah.
Trying to get rid of
it. Avoiding. Yes. Avoiding. Yeah. So I think, yeah, you can very much, keeping it in the fridge makes it really easy to have a low maintenance starter that you only feed when you need it. And, okay, then you're not wasting flour or time, or you're not worried about it dying on the counter if you don't pay attention to it. So, mm-hmm, that works out well. Feed it before I go to bed. Wake up. at that point in time, between probably 4 and 5. and mix. When I first started, I just mixed everything together. Now I hold out salt and add it in later.
Oh, really?
But
okay,
mix it all together.
What's the reason for holding the salt now?
Holding out salt is a process called autolysing. So it allows the flour and to fully absorb the water. And the longer you autolyse, the more base gluten structure you're going to get.
Okay.
Which actually allows you to pay less attention to it, do less folds, and still have a pretty nice texture on your bread.
So at what step do you add the salt when you do it that way?
So I mix flour, water, starter until it's kind of just like a shaggy dough. Ignore it for half an hour, an hour. Go back, add the salt, a little bit of water, sploosh it in. Yeah, and then I'll start folds. To this day, my bread's lucky if it gets 3 folds. I don't pay that much attention to it. If I'm doing a big batch, I'll pay more attention because it's 50 pounds of dough that I don't want to throw out the window.
Yeah.
But if I'm just baking for myself, it doesn't get a ton of attention, and it's fine. Mix it together in the morning. Again, if that's first thing when I get up, read my Bible, eat breakfast, whatever, give it a fold. Get ready, pack up my bag, give it a fold, leave the house. It's on the counter. It doesn't come with me. It just hangs out there. And by the time I come home in the evening, shape it, stick it in the fridge. If things go according to plan.
You put your shaped loaves in the fridge.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's excellent for a lot of reasons. One, it scores a lot easier out of the fridge when the dough's cold. Two, if you end up not being able to bake it in time, you can just leave it in there. I've left loaves in the fridge for 2 or 3 days and it changes a little bit, but it's still totally edible and you get some really good flavor after fermenting that long. Shape them, put them in the fridge. Again, if I'm on top of it, the next morning they get baked. If not, the next time I get a chance, they get baked it's pretty straightforward.
But that's really great though, because you are making it crazy flexible. Mm-hmm. I've never refrigerated the loaf, I don't think.
Yeah,
and that's super fun. Yeah.
And you can even if you don't have time to shape them, mm-hmm. stick just your bulk dough in the fridge. It's only going to get better the more time you give it. So I actually put a pretty low percentage of starter in my dough so that I can be gone for 12 hours and it hasn't overproofed by the time I get home.
Gotcha.
And that long, slow fermentation process, I find both convenient because it's flexible, but also actually provides more flavor mm-hmm. than if I put more starter in and it rose really fast and I didn't have the time for it to really develop that complexity of flavor.
No, that makes a lot of sense. It really does. So when you have figured this structure out, I assume originally it was just kind of this has to work because this is when I'm available.
Yeah.
But now do you measure everything? Have you written this down? Is this something that you repeat or is it always just by your gut?
No, I definitely have it down to a science at this point.
Okay.
But I liked starting without measurements because it allowed me to get an intuitive sense of what was going on mm-hmm. and not just this is what somebody told me to do, so I'm doing it. It was like, oh, well, when I change this factor, this changes. So I'm actually developing a mental concept of holding out the salt is having this effect, or doing this many folds is having this effect, or doing this much water versus this much water is having this effect. Seeing the correlation of why change different elements. And then I can decide, what do I want? How do I work back to what elements I pay attention to? So I'm working at a 75 to 78% hydration at this point. So mm-hmm. 1,000 grams of flour, 750 to 780 grams of water, 15% starter, 4% salt. Also, actually, a higher salt percentage is going to slow your fermentation as well, which is also good for flavor.
Right.
And that's pretty standard. Mm-hmm. I've messed around with different.
Have you oversalted? Have you had an oversalted loaf?
I don't think I've had that
happen.
You
haven't had that happen?
No. I mean, I also have a really salty palate, so I don't know.
Well, I like salt too.
I've never been that's too much for me. And you can mess with different flours. Mm-hmm. You can mess with all sorts of different things.
When you started, what were you using for your flour?
Winco flour, bulk bins.
Yeah.
Yeah. You really can use whatever's available to you.
And what about feeding your starter too?
Same thing. Yeah. At this point, I get flour from the restaurant supply store. That's a little bit nicer. Mm-hmm. But whatever you have on hand, and sometimes I find if my starter is kind of unhappy, feed it a little bit of whole wheat, something that has a little bit more grist to it mm-hmm. To try and help, encourage
get the colonies.
Flora. Yeah, give it something to work with. But
yeah,
kind of whatever's on hand.
That's great. I like that too, because it makes it, again, easier to start. Part of it, mm-hmm. It's if you don't have space for a million different kinds of flowers, You just don't have space.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's pretty fun. Although it is really fun to experiment with the flowers too. Because I use a high gluten shepherd's green.
Yep.
Frequently. I like that stuff. That's usually
that's what I got at home right now.
Yes. My go-to, which is pretty fun. But if you don't have it, you don't have it. So tell us a little bit about how the Moscow bread box started to take shape. You had people asking if you could buy it. Mm-hmm. So then what was your next step?
Let's see. I think first step was deliveries. I started doing, I think I probably posted on Kirker Ladies. I can't even remember at this point. Saturday morning doorstep delivery for bread. And I started doing bagels and English muffins. And it was just different days of the week. So this during the summer. Mm-hmm. I had the time to do this. different days of the week, deliveries for different types of things. And then started to try to consolidate to just like a weekend, bake it all out and deliver, mm-hmm. you know. There's a couple different iterations there. And then a friend and I decided to get a booth together at the Troy Farmers Market, which is such a lovely little market.
It is.
It's so small and one cheap, like it made it really, you know, achievable. I could go pay $10 and have a booth there and not be worried that if I didn't sell something, I was like up a creek without a paddle. But also, you know, the regular customers know me. I got to know the regular customers, what they liked. That was really fun. So we sold there and I stopped doing deliveries because that was conflicting on Saturdays. I was planning to pick back up with deliveries once market was over and then health did not permit. So as I'm kind of reopening and bringing Moscow Bread Box back to life, I'm hoping to lean more into like a weekly pickup. So like right now, Wingover Farm is where like every Friday you can find there's going to be bread available there. And that saves me a bit of the hassle of having to deal with deliveries and like all of the particularities of individual orders. So
Wingover Farms, and where is their stand located?
Let's see. They're 911 Mountain View, I believe. So just up past the water park on the left. Beautiful, beautiful spot. Great people. Highly recommend it out there. It's really cute. And that's been fun. I've only been there for about a month, but I think in like a couple hours last week. It's gotten faster and faster. So
how many loaves are you stocking there every week?
Oh, not much. I started small just to kind of see, I don't know, the foot traffic through here. So I think the first week I had like 4 loaves and it took the weekend. And last week I had like 6 loaves and 2 focaccia and it sold out in a couple hours. So the hope is to right now in the midst of school and still not having my own oven, we'll see how much I can scale up. But once I graduate and I have my own baking set up, I'll hopefully be able to scale up there. And I think I might add Wednesdays there as well because that's their CSA pickup day.
And is it something where people can just put cash in or pay via?
There's Venmo.
Venmo.
Venmo and a cash box. And you pay that all directly to Wingover. And then I sort it out with with Jenny. But that's great. And I'll be at the Spring Fair this weekend. Depending on when this drops. I know. April 27th.
We're putting this one in last minute. We'll see if we can get it to drop before this. But if it does drop before this, tell us what the times are for the Spring Fair this weekend.
Spring Fair is 11 to 2:30 at the fairgrounds this Saturday, the 27th. I think the Spring Fair is usually smaller, which means you probably have a better bet of getting something because I sold out in like an hour and a half at the Christmas Fair.
Oh, no. Okay, so 11 o'clock, you got to be there. Yeah. What are you planning on selling?
I'll have regular loaves. I'll have regular focaccia. I'll have caramelized onion and pesto focaccia.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
And then the ones I'm most excited about, I'm making 2 different kinds of danishes. So I'm going to do a cream cheese apricot danish and a marzipan raspberry danish.
Those sound
so
really good.
All sourdough.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about it.
Get your cup of coffee. Get your danish.
Yeah.
And then continue to
have a little walk around. Yeah. It's going to be good.
No, that sounds perfect. So what's your favorite thing to make? Favorite type of sourdough baked item?
I feel like they're all just fun.
That's a good problem.
I've made probably, I don't know, upwards of 1,500 loaves at this point. And I just don't get tired of it. Like, I really enjoy every time I take the lid off the Dutch oven, it's like, ooh.
Look at that.
It's so fun. but that's, I mean, pretty much in terms of process, that's pretty rote at this point. I just started figuring out danishes for the fair. That was a thing I wanted to learn. And that was super fun and super rewarding. I enjoyed that. I mean, they're all fun in their own ways. I'd say one of my favorite things to eat is bagels, sourdough bagels, but they're a huge pain to make. So I don't really make them that often anymore. But they're all fun in their own ways, and I'm got several things on the list of like, okay, baguettes are coming up. Like I gotta learn baguettes. I gotta learn nice. Sourdough croissants. We're gonna learn. Like, you know, I've got things on the to-do list that I'm hoping I have a lot of faith in how much time I will have after I graduate. But
it seems endless, I'm sure.
Yeah. Things I'm hoping to learn, you know, come summer, the next phase.
Moscow Bread Box will be continuing this summer. Are you gonna be at the Troy Market again or
I will be. Okay. Yeah. So at least once a month is what I've set up for now. I might add other markets. I have a wedding lined up and I'm hoping to kind of ask around about events, you know, would be happy to bake for private events, that sort of thing. Nice. That's not really something I've advertised about yet, just because I feel so uncomfortable marketing myself. But hoping to leave some space open for that over the summer. Yeah. So I'll post, you know, where I'm at on social media. If anybody follows along, you can see what weeks I'm at the market and when I'm not and that sort of thing.
And how to contact you. So what is the social media handle for you?
I'm most active on Instagram, just Moscow Bread Box. I'm also on Facebook, but it's more just the automatic post to Facebook from Instagram.
So if they want to get in touch with you, is it best to DM you on Instagram?
Instagram's great, yeah. Okay. And I have an email as well, but that's really, you know, seems kind of formal.
I know, Instagram's pretty easy to get out there. Okay, tell us where the name came from.
This is actually kind of funny part of the story. I was baking and, you know, selling to friends at this point. So this was spring of 2022, I think, and went to dinner at a friend's house. And there was another gal there who I kind of knew, Mallory Struble.
Yes.
You know, we're acquaintances and just got to chatting. And I was like, oh, you know, like someday it'd be so cool to like actually have like a, you know, actually sell bread, like for real, like go to the farmer's market. And she was like, we should do the Troy farmer's market. And I was like, we can just like do that. I don't know. That seems kind of scary. And she was like, no, we should just do it. Like I'll bake some stuff. You bake some stuff and we'll go to the farmer's. It's small. Like it's literally, it's so chill. It'll be so fun. And so this person that we like barely knew, we hit it off. We started chatting. We decided to sign up for the farmer's market. And she, you know, came up with the name and we baked there that summer and then she got married and, you know, kind of onto her own adventures and I kept the name. So
perfect. Oh, yeah. Well, that is
shout
fun.
Out to Mallory Struble.
Yes, which is pretty great. And you
or
kind
North
of,
up, I guess.
Mallory oh, yes. She's married. But it is pretty great when you have some of that, again, that barrier to entry, some of those things that just remove the elements of, well, why not?
Yeah. Just go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Just try it. Just
figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's really, really fun. Okay. Let's, as we wind down, any final thoughts about it? I mean, we could go into deep into the process of understanding what the folds do and all of that too. Mm-hmm. But is there anything about sourdough specifically that you wanted to share?
I don't know. I enjoy bread so much because it's so tangible, I think is something I keep coming back to when I'm thinking about, okay, why am I doing this? Why am I trying to start a business? Why am I trying to, you know, what am I doing with this? It's a really tangible outworking, especially coming out of college, coming out of academia, and like so much time in your head to be like, okay, what do I actually do that can actually love people, bless people, and provide hospitality to people? And that's like really been the driving force of why I like to bake in the first place. Like it makes people happy. And I love that. Like I love being able to feed people and hoping that as I expand a business out of it, that provides means for other people to bless other people, you know, around their own tables. And that, you know, if I end up teaching classes, if I end up writing something, I don't know, like that makes it available, like wanting to make that available.
Yeah.
Both the kind of gratification of really hands-on, meaningful, rewarding work and the joy that brings to the people around them.
Well, I love it. And it's true. Like getting a loaf of sourdough and just kind of ripping into it is delicious. It's
hard to beat.
It's really hard to beat. You don't need butter. You don't need anything. It's just stinking good. But, well, that's really great. So, Meg, thanks so much. And hopefully we get this out in time, but then come see her Saturday.
Come say hi.
At 11 o'clock at the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
And we'll make sure and post your Instagram handle and all of that in the comments too. But thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for joining us. Like, share, subscribe. We'll see you next week.